Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Welcome to Guts Church. Isn't it great to be here? Good crowd tonight, good-looking people. How many of you guys are sitting next to somebody that just ravishing good looks? Can I see your hands? You are? Kind of you are. Welcome to Guts. I'm Bill Shear. I'm Sandy's husband. And most of my friends are in this room. Most of the people that are in my circle are. And if they're not, then I'm not going to talk to them for a few days. And because I make them pay. I'm an acts of service guy. So if you're in my circle and you skip church, I don't talk to you for like 72 hours. And then I warm back up. But I tell you right now what I've never dealt with life like I have in the last year for me. And I'll tell you what it's been like. It's just been storm and then storm and then storm. And those storms build on the horizon and they come and they hit you to get ready. And I was on my walk run, mostly walk this morning, with my dog Hustle. And I was talking to a pastor friend of mine. And we were praying and the Lord began to speak to me. And I was thinking about the storms that have hit my life. My wife, my partner in life, my best friend, the glue in my life in this church, went through liver failure and then everything that and then she got a liver transplant, and then right after she got the transplant, the pandemic hit, and then right after that, George Floyd died, and it just seemed like that anything that could happen did happen. Okay, I just put it that way, and I thought about it, and I thought, this is a time in my life where I have to be in the Word. I don't know about you guys, but when things are going on that are trying for me and that are storms in my life, I've got to dive into the Word. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a preacher, and I'm not just saying that because it's something I should say. It's absolutely what I do. But in Mark, the 4th chapter, Jesus said something significant. He said, the world chokes the Word. So I just want to lay it out for you guys here tonight that how much of the world are you absorbing? How much of the world is being communicated into your life? And you might think, well, I want to know what's going on. And really, honestly, that goes against the world choking the Word, because we might be curious and there might be something that I need to know, or that I need to be a part of, and that I need to a new mission. Let me just tell you, anything that's happening in the world today has not affected my mission. I'm just telling you. I love people. I want to reach people. And you know, it's interesting because early on in the church, and some of you guys, Scott and maybe Elvis, guys that are a little older, have been in church a long time. In the 90s, guys would say, man, you got to pick, churches are like radio stations. You can't play, a radio station can't play all different kinds of music and attract people. You got to pick a style and just stay with that style and just be that style. And I'm thinking, okay, church, you got to pick a style. Like, and then they started saying, what does the target audience look like for your church? And we even had a few staff meetings where I'm like, okay, I can play the game, and smarter people than me are doing this. So what does Gary Guts look like? Okay, and our Geraldine Guts, or what's a G for a girl? Gina Guts, or What do they look like? And oh, they're 24 years old and they've got 1.2 children and they've been married for 3 years. And it's like, and finally, I closed my notebook and said, let's go get lunch or something because I can't do this anymore. Because I don't want to reach one particular kind of people. I want them all. I don't want to play fair. I don't want to do church fair. I don't want to concede anything. I don't want to concede anybody. And in doing this, I start thinking about this, and I start thinking, we got 10 days before the internship starts. And I started thinking about it this morning. I'm on my walk, and I'm thinking these storms that have hit my life, and they're pretty major storms. They're pretty significant storms. And these storms that have hit my life, God started showing me people in our church who live in a storm. It's not that storms hit their lives, it's that they live in the belly of the storm. That's their life. It's just a storm in their life. And man, I want to be able to communicate. I want to really honestly, I want to just throw the gavel down and just bang on it and say, stop. Okay, we're built for the storm, but life doesn't have to be a storm. Understand that. And if you're going the wrong direction, or and really honestly, that's all that matters. That's all that's the determination you have to have. If your life is bad, you're going the wrong direction. And you might just be a little bit off. You know, you might just have a little bit of an attitude or a little bit of unbelief. And the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of unbelief is going to jack your whole life up. It really is. If faith is a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, go from here to there, and you have that authority and that power and that ability. I believe doubt as a mustard seed is very similar in the negative way. And we've got to remove all doubt from our lives. We got to know that we know that we know what we believe in, what we stand for, and who we are. And the whatever happens in the world cannot dictate our mission. See, our mission is, what's the mission of this church? To help people win. And the formula that the world gives for winning is not going to deliver the win that God gives you. It's not going to. Man, we can read all kinds of books and we can listen to all kinds of orders and we can subscribe to podcasts. And let me just tell you, none of it stands against the word. I mean, the word in our lives, the promise of God, if the world is designed, by design the world is broken. And if the world is designed to choke the word in our lives, we've got to be smarter than we've been. And I think the title of my message tonight is, do you know Jesus? Do you really know him? Because you know what's amazing? The disciples didn't know him. They were with him for 3.5 years. Do you understand that God had to take a man that didn't travel with Jesus ever, that didn't follow Jesus ever, and have an experience on the road to Damascus, and he gave that man, listen, the revelation of grace. Peter didn't have the revelation of grace. None of the writers of the Gospels had the revelation of grace. God gave it to Paul. But we think about that, but these other guys walked with Jesus. These other guys knew what he looked like. Paul maybe couldn't have. Paul saw him once in a while, occasionally. I think he bugged Paul because Paul then attacked everybody that stood for him or followed him and was a hater of believers, but then he experienced the real Jesus. Do you know none of those disciples really knew him? And we've got to understand that. I believe that God has you here tonight for a purpose. I believe it's not for my opinions of what's going on. Just let me tell you, the world is going to incrementally feed fear and hate to your life in equal measure, in equal doses, and the more you take it in, the more the word's going to be choked in your life. I don't know about you guys. I want the word working in my life. That's what I bought into. And see, I think about the internships coming up, and it's in 10 days, and there's people here that your life isn't good. And you're thinking, maybe I'll wake up and serendipitously it'll just be some kind of miracle that'll happen and my life will be good. Well, the bottom line is your life is made up of the habits of your life. And I don't know a better way for anybody, and I'm talking to everybody here that are thinking, I want to elevate my life. I look at that video of Justin. Shoot. I mean, that guy came in, what, on a scale of 1 to 10, what was he? Uno. You gave him a 2, I give him a 1. All right? I'm not being mean either. Sometimes I say that just to be mean, right? But I'm not being mean now. He's like a 1. And I'm telling you, that guy now, I had him walk around our staff meeting today. We had a staff lunch. I had him walk around the room because I thought, you know what? That little sucker, I just watched that video. But, man, the shadow being cast on people that he walks by may just change their lives. That's how powerful. That's the elevation that came into his life in 1 year. He came in as a project. He came in, probably people interviewed him and felt sorry for him and said, well, let him in. And now, let me just tell you something. He's going to be running things here. I mean, that's the track that he's on. That's the direction that he's taken. I mean, it's remarkable. So I'm just throwing it out there for you guys. Your life doesn't have to stay where it is. And what I believe is, I believe God gives us bumps in life. Man, there's people that I've met, people that I'm associated with in my life right now that has bumped my life up. That I'm a better man, a better person, a better husband, father, pastor, everything that's important to me. I'm better in all those areas because the people that are around my life. And that's what the internship gives you. It puts you around people that are going to elevate your life. And I'm telling you, we're in a time right now that everything that's happened in my life almost boils down to this moment. I don't want to like over dramatize it because I know preachers can do that. But if I could just significantly dramatize it, I was born for this time. This is why I was born. Revival is going to hit our country like no one has ever seen. You know, the Azusa Street Revival. How many of you guys have heard of the Azusa Street Revival? Wave to me. Early 20th century, early 1900s, a one-eyed African-American took the Holy Spirit, and God, I'm telling you, people were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit at all of his meetings. And he ended up in Southern California, and people came from all over the country. I mean, there was revival in the Ku Klux Klan because they didn't know that he was black, and they came to his meetings and they're like, wait a second, this guy's black and we're not supposed to. But the Holy Spirit hit their lives. But they didn't know what color his skin was. And for 20 years, there was revival in America. For 20 years. But then, you know what happened? Religion started getting into play. And the group of people that were building and building and building, and about 1920 or 1925, they split. And one went one direction and the other went the other direction because of their skin color. And one became the Assemblies of God and the others became the Church of God in Christ. And I'm thinking, and you know what? I heard that story. I've heard it before. And now we're in an age right now. I'm thinking, God, give us another chance at that. Because I think I've got a big enough mouth that I'm not going to let that happen again. Man, you give us 20 years of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Oh my gosh. These are those who've turned the world upside down. But the world chokes the word. Remember that. Man, we've got to have the word in us. Man, we've got to, what's going to break all of this? It's not just civil tension that we're dealing with here. This is spiritual at the core. And where the ways of the world abound, the ways of God so much more abound. So I'm just, I guess I'm zigzagging. I'm zigging when I should be zagging. But I'm just saying the internship right now is vital. Man, we're going to have entire sections of it where we're going to give people a voice to speak to matters that the world is dealing with right now. Man, to bring the gospel home into people's lives. Man, where we can truly bring captivity captive. But I believe there's purpose for your life tonight, for being here. And I believe that the panic that people are suffering, and really honestly, they shouldn't be panicking. But there's panic. And things that you've been dealing with, you're going to get over them tonight. That's how powerful God's word is. That's how strong the word that God has delivered us in his Bible. And let me just put it this way. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus knew what he was up against. The night before, they beat him and whipped him and spit on him and tore his beard out. And okay, he's with his men, he's with his disciples. And this is where I want to tell you, they didn't know him. And that's why I'm asking you. So I'm assuming you're at church on Wednesday night. I'm assuming you know Jesus. I'm going to give you a chance to give your life to him tonight at the end of the service. But I'm assuming, and let me tell you, I don't want to assume this anymore. I don't assume that you're really getting this, that you know Jesus. You just, it's not that you just know about him or you know of him, but you truly know him. In John, the 14th chapter in the first verse, and Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Okay? They knew the rumblings. They knew everything that was going on. Jesus knew what, and let me just tell you, the natural part of him had to be freaking out. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. See, he's telling this to these guys that have been with him for 3.5 years. 3.5 years, these guys had walked with Jesus. And he said, look, you believe in God, believe in me. This is the last conversation he's having with these guys before the crucifixion. This is an unreasonable task with what Jesus was about to face. And God has given you authority over your emotions and given you the power to overcome. Okay, God's given you that already. So, because everything now is super emotional. Everything is. And really, honestly, I'm built for this because everything's always been emotional for me. It really has. I'm an emotional dude. But now everything is so emotional. And the second verse, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he said this, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Now listen, we're thinking about that being in the great by and by. And he's talking to these guys, listen, you're going to have a place. When I go, you're going to have a place. I'm preparing a mansion for you, but you're going to have a place. And where I go, he said this. He said, where I go, you know, and the way you know. He'd been with him for 3.5 years, pouring his life into him. You know, Philippians 4:19 says that my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, our faith brings us what we're believing, it brings it into being in our lives. That's what our faith does. How many of you guys are believing God for you quit smoking, that you make more money, that you start saving money, that your kids stop being crazy, that your marriage turns around? We're believing God for all this stuff. Well, let me tell you what our faith does. Did they put that on the screen? Did that note go on the screen? Our faith brings us what we're believing for. It brings it into being. That's what our faith does. That's what our trust is. See, the world's peddling fear. You know what? God's delivering faith. The world's peddling hatred. Man, God's about love. That's all God is. That's who he is. That's what he is. And then we go back to John 14 and verse 5. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? How can we know the way if we don't know where you're going? You know, most people don't let the word get in the way of what they believe. People come in here and might could sit for years, but don't let the word mess with what they believe. See, early on, I didn't know what to believe, so I'm going to believe the word. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't have any doctrine that was contrary to God's promise that I had to deal with. I didn't have to uproot anything. All I had was sin. That's all I had. All I had was worldliness. And then God saved my life. I had a revelation that Jesus was real before I became a Christian. And then when I became a Christian, I had revelation that Jesus died for my sin. Game over. Write that down. Game over. Number one, Jesus is real. Number two, he died for my sin. Number three, game over. Okay, that's the be-all, end-all for me. In John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, these guys thought they knew God. They were Jewish. Everywhere they went, they stopped at the synagogue. And Jesus said, listen, if you know God, you know me. Verse 7, and if you've known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on, you know him, and you've seen me. Here's what's amazing. We haven't. And I'm going to get to that here in a minute. In verse 8, now Philip, first was Thomas, now Philip steps up, and Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And he says something very telling that just ripped through my heart. And it is sufficient. He said, look, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. See, that word sufficient means satisfied. He said, okay, Jesus, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. See what I'm saying, that they didn't know him? So many people don't have revelation of who Jesus really is. And here's my deal. I'm not going to leave it up to chance anymore. We've got to be able to communicate this so clearly that people can't miss it. This has to be a can't-miss message in our lives, because do people really know Jesus? Man, would our marriage be the way it is if we really knew Jesus? Would our relationships, would our friendships, would where we spend our money if we really knew Jesus? Would our health be what it is if we really knew Jesus? Would our fears be what they are if we really knew Jesus? What our attitudes are if we really knew Jesus? See, what the world wants to promote now is ego. And see, what's happening it's just a big power grab. Everywhere you look, it's a power grab. Why? Because if I get some power, I'll have a bigger ego. Well, let me tell you, ego is the enemy. Humility wins. Write this down. Humility wins. Humility wins every time. Man, I met with a group of African Americans and a couple weeks ago. I told you all this, but before I left the house, Sandy said, "Bill," and she used it when we were younger. She'd grab my ears and pull my head in and scream in my face, and I'd be like, "Sandy, you don't have to do that anymore." She said, "Yes, I do. You don't listen." And so she got in my face, and figuratively, I could feel her hands grabbing my ears and pulling me in, and she said, "Bill, just listen." I'm like, okay, good. So I get there. Elvis is the first guy I see in the parking lot. I'm walking up, and I'm ready. I'm excited about it. And I'm like, hey, Elvis, I need you to do me a favor. He said, well, I said, you need to be Sandy at this lunch meeting. You need to kick me on the table like she would, hard. Kick my shin if I'm not listening. I have to listen. That's my marching orders here. Well, why? What is listening? What is listening? Listen, what does listening reveal? Humility. Because let me tell you what my nature is, by nature, Bill Scheer. When you're talking, I'm thinking about how to rebut. I'm thinking about what I want to say to you. I'm not really listening. It's like by nature. So what I've got to do, I've got to harness that. I've got to discipline that. I've got to create new habits in my life, a habit of listening. Man, if you just become a listener, your marriage will spike. See, and we've got to understand that. We've got to be that. In Luke, the 12th chapter, the 32nd verse, Jesus said, don't fear, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Man, you think, let's look at the next few verses there and tie it in. Don't fear, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Verse 33, listen to this. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which don't grow old. Don't use your don't provide your wallet anymore, your pocketbook anymore. And a treasure in the heavens that doesn't fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, we have to understand, we have to look at this. So Jesus said, it's the Father's good, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give you the whole shooting match. But we're worried, we're wanting our ego inflated. When do I get my turn to speak? Yeah, but I've got an opinion, and man, I need to be heard. And it's like, wait a second. Man, I've got pastors from all over the country. I've got people with podcasts, and they ask me to be in their podcast, and I'm like, I don't know. I've never heard them before. And I check it. It's like over a million subscribers. I'm like, dear God, no. I mean, I'm the king of stepping into gotcha questions. But see, we understand, we've got to look at this, and we've got to understand that it's the Father's good pleasure. Take what you have and sell it. Give alms. Man, it's not about inflating your ego. That promotion, that raise, it's like this. And I'll tell you what God spoke to me this morning. He said, do the work of an evangelist to make full proof of your ministry. He was speaking, it was Paul writing to Timothy, who's a son in faith to him, who's a pastor of a very big church. And he said, do the work of an evangelist. And there's a translation that says, in all your pastoral duties, take responsibility for the lost. And I'm telling you, that's the honey hole of this church. That's the bullseye of Guts Church. In all the pastoring, see, what we've got to do is we've got to win people to Jesus. And we've got to disciple them to win people to Jesus. And where disciples are making disciples, why? To win people to Jesus. See, that's the mission. That's the co-mission we're on. That's how we help people win. At the end of the day, they may not ever be better looking, but at the end of the day, they're going to heaven. You know, most of you guys aren't going to hell. Why? Because Jesus made himself real to you. He died for you. Game over. In going back to John 14 and verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and let you've not known me, Philip? You know, it's almost like he's saying, I get Thomas, but I'm not getting you. And he said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves, for the sake of those other people out there. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. I look at this, and here's Jesus on the last night of his life. 3.5 years of internship these guys were in, and he's realizing, Jesus went to the cross realizing his 12 guys, his 11 guys, didn't get him, didn't know him. And see, and so now let's fast forward a couple thousand years to where we are today. And we're thinking we know God, but then we don't know his word. Because Jesus is the word made flesh and dwelt among us. The word lives among us now, and we don't know it. Man, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And let me just tell you, we've got a huge national debate right now where it's like, well, who's my neighbor? It's like, are we really, we can't go, can we forget book and chapter and verse and just give people page number? Here's the page that it's on, that it's anybody that's around you. That's who your neighbor is. Because what they're saying is, I don't get to pick my neighbor. But see, we've got to take on the attitude as a church, just like I would, where I'd say, man, you don't mess with Becca. You don't mess with Jen. You don't mess with Choice. Choice's first day as an employee at Guts Church today. You don't mess with Sheldon. You don't mess with Brian. But you know what else? You don't mess with my neighbor. See, that's the attitude that's the only way I know how to self-dialogue, the narrative in my head. It's like, you know what? I'm going to defend my neighbor. I'm not going to debate. I'm not going to have to, God's not going to have to shine. Do you understand darkness? Do you understand darkness is nothing? All darkness is the absence of light. We don't have to define darkness. So you'll hear people say, and I heard it again this last week, drives me up a wall, because people want to, it sounds so dramatic for preachers to say, man, the darkness is getting darker. You know all that means to me is the light is getting less. Well, who's the light of the world? Who's the light of the world? Who's the dadgum light of the world? That's what I'm asking you right here and right now. Raise your hand if you're the light of the world. Well, that means there can't be any darkness anywhere you are. You love your neighbor as yourself. You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Any questions? That's what Jesus said. It's all wrapped up in this one commandment. It's all wrapped up right here. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And quit trying to define who your dadgum neighbor is. The neighbor's just the people that are around you. You're riding the bus with. You're shopping near. Man, somebody says, can you please put a mask on? Put a mask on. This isn't that difficult. It's really not. Is that the hill you want to die on? The moral stand that you want to take that you're not going to wear a mask? Is that really for real? Because I don't want to have like July 4th barbecue with you if you are, so let me know. No, for real, because we just gotta love our neighbors, ourselves. My neighbor wants to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. Do I want to? No. Is it about me? No. It's not about me. If it's about you, that storm is going to come into your life and stay there. That's why I'll tell you, I'm a big proponent. If you're in financial trouble, or if your finances are thin, I'd give. That's what I do. That's what I do. That's what I do as well. Because we're better than this. We know Jesus, right? Do you know Jesus? He's the author and finisher of, listen, not your prosperity, not your health, not your happiness. He's the author and finisher of your faith. That's all it's about, trust. You trust God? You trust His Word? You trust the people preaching His Word? I mean, that's all it is. Do you live what you preach?
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.